There is.
Thank you for listening to this audio message from Grace Life Center Charismatic Renewal Ministries. For more information about our church, please visit our website www.gracelifecenter.com or call 657-206-7729.
Break every chain, break every chain. Yeah, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
I have seen your weeping in the night. I've heard the breaking of your heart like the glass shattering. And he says, can you see my arms around you? My arms of love. I love you. In your pain, I love you. In your tears, I love you. I am not your enemy, says the Lord. I am not your enemy, says the Lord. Father, we worship you. Father, we thank you. Thank you because in your presence there is life. Thank you because in your presence there is joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. The Lord says I should tell somebody I am undoing your heavy burdens. You have carried this burden for so long. This weight. This challenge in your life. Today is the day of your deliverance, says the Lord. I am here to set you free. I am here to deliver you. Come unto me. You that have labored and you are heavy laden. And I will heal you. I will restore you. Brethren, this morning there's going to be a mighty healing anointing in this place. Physical healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing. I hear the Lord saying that I'm restoring people. Hallelujah. I am restoring people. There's someone in this place you feel left behind. You feel like everybody is making progress and you are standing in one place. You feel like all your mates and all your contemporary, they've moved on. And here you are, 5 years later, 10 years later, 20 years later, nothing seems to have changed. Thus says the Spirit of the Lord, I will restore the years of the caterpillar has eaten. I will restore the years that the cankerworm has eaten. You shall pursue, you shall overtake, and you shall recover all. Thank you for your. Just lift up your heaven and your hands to heaven and say, Father, thank you for the restoration. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see somebody in this place. Your face is split in two. Half of it is dark and half of it is white. It's like, I don't know if you've seen that clown that paints his face and one part is white and one part is black. And the Lord said, it's a spirit of confusion that has been upon you. But today it is ending. The Lord said, you are walking away completely from darkness into light. I want us to just lift up our hands to heaven and say, thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for touching us. Thank you for healing us. While we are praying, crying to our Father, Jesus touched my soul. Lift up your hands. Sing it one more time.
When I was praying to my Father, Jesus touched,
touch me, Lord.
My
touch me, Lord.
Soul.
God has the Lord. Touch me, Lord.
While I am
praying to God, the power of the Lord is here
while we are praying to my Father.
I hear death in my ears. I hear death in my ears. And I said, Lord, is it that there's somebody that you are delivering from death? He said, no. He said, there's somebody that death is dying in their lives. He says, there's someone that fear is dying in their lives. He says, there's someone that everything negative is dying in their lives. Hallelujah. Death to the wicked, but you are not the wicked. The wicked in your life will die. Everything that is wicked in your life will die. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you because grace has showed up this morning. Thank you, everlasting Father. We worship you. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. And let the people of God say, amen. Let's put our hands together as we have our seats. Hallelujah. God has a word for us this morning, and by God's grace, that word will be delivered in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I want to welcome everybody who is worshiping with us for the first time. Amen.
Amen.
This is Grace Life Center, where good things happen to everyone. It doesn't matter how good or how bad you are, something good will happen to you. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you are in your father's house. And in your father's house, something good, something great, something fantastic, something marvelous will happen to you. If you believe it, say amen. Hallelujah. So if you are watching with us for the first time, just raise your hand. Let the ushers give you our welcome card. You are welcome. Ushers, can you please find anybody who is worshiping with us for the first time? Complete that welcome card, and you will leave this place with a wonderful book as a gift from me. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And if I really, really like you, you will leave here with a Bible. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, ushers, please, can you please distribute the cards? The cards are from behind, the welcome cards. Make sure everybody that is here worship with us for the first time completes one, because Pastor wants to bless them with a book and or a Bible. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. This morning, I want to share with us in the few minutes that we have left. I'm praying that God will help me. Uchendu, can you give the PowerPoint? I'm praying that God will help us to move quickly as I begin a series. What will happen is that whenever I stop, I will stop there and will continue the series when next I get a chance to be up here. Next Sunday, I think Pastor Greg will be here. So it might be Sunday. And I want to take a series called When Grace Showed Up. I struggled. You can give this topic and this series any title you want. I prayed. I said, God, what title should we give? If I, up until 5 minutes ago, that's when I changed the title again to When Grace Showed Up. So what that means is that God has a title for that message and it belongs to you.
Amen.
When a man of God cannot pick a title for a message, it means that each person here can go home with their own title for the message.
Amen.
But all of this is flowing from the word that God has given to us, that it's a new day. It's a new church. It's a doing a new thing. It's a new covenant. One of the titles that I thought about was Why God, the going away of the old and the bringing of the new. But it doesn't really matter. Let's go into what I want to share with us today. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The text for this message that you can use is in Titus chapter 2, verse 11. It's a verse that we are familiar with, so I will not give too much preamble to it. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 says, grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. That's what New King James Version said. But let me read it from the NIV, because I think I like the way the NIV puts it. You know, the way you order words can change the whole meaning of what you are trying to say. So in Titus 2, the NIV says, for the grace of God has appeared that brings salvation to all men. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that's slightly different. The one says, the grace that brings salvation has appeared to all men. This one says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Can somebody say all people?
All people.
It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and to worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Can you go back to that first slide? Let's look at that verse. It says, the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all men. It teaches us to say no. Can somebody say it teaches us to say no? This aspect of how grace teaches us to say no, I will take in the next meeting, So I want you to come here. I want you to prepare for that one. How grace teaches us to say no. Because if you think about it, you will think that what will teach you to say no to ungodliness is the fear of being caught. For the fear of being caught has appeared to all men, and it teaches us to say no to ungodliness. But the fear of getting caught does not teach you to say no to ungodliness. Or you would have thought that it would have said that for the law of God to strengthen people up has appeared, and the law of God has taught them to say, is that what it says? No, it wasn't the law of God. Or maybe it should have said that the community of Christians has now come to teach us to say no. No, but that's not what it said. What teaches you to say no to ungodliness? What teaches you to say no to ungodliness?
The grace of God.
I am going to convincingly prove to you that there is nothing else in this world that can make you say no to ungodliness and yes to godliness but the grace of God. That's the only thing that can help you to say no. That can teach you. That word teach is like the teaching of a coach. When I'm a soccer fan, amen. And one of the best coaches in the soccer world today is a young 40-something-year-old man known as Pep Guardiola. He's a master coach. He's the coach of Manchester City. When he was coaching Barcelona, they won everything. When he moved to Bayern Munich, he won everything. Now he's in Man City, they're winning everything again. And the man is not yet 45. He's the best coach. People, when they work with him, they say he makes them move from mediocre to superstars. That's how great he is. He coached Lionel Messi. And that's how Lionel Messi, when he was coaching him, won World Footballer of the Year 6 years in a row. That is what he's talking about here. Grace of God will coach you how to say no to ungodliness. So you cannot miss that message in 2 weeks' time, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
But today, I want to talk about the one that is highlighted, which is the grace of God has appeared. Grace of God has showed up. If grace of God has showed up, what does that mean? That there was a time it was not there. Is that true?
That's true.
If something has appeared, it means that there was a time when it was not
there.
It was not there. Then one day it appeared. And when it appeared, the Bible said, it brought salvation to all men. Oh, if I just pause and think about that line, that sentence, which is all I'm going to talk about today. So much to unpack from that verse. The grace of God has brought salvation to all men. Not to some people, but to all people. Do you know that there are some religions that by default cannot save some people? The constitution of that religion simply means if you are of a certain kind of person. Let me give an example. Not to believe that, because I know that their constitution has now changed. Say that again. Jehovah Witness, what is it that they, if you have... I know about the Mormons, the Church of Jesus Christ for Latter-day Saints. Up until the 1980s, if you have my skin color, you cannot be saved. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And this might surprise some of us. Before the New Testament came, if you are not a Jew, you cannot be saved. So when Paul writes to Titus and says that it has appeared to give salvation to all people, that's a radically important statement. Because today we assume that if you have a religion, it should try and save everybody. No, it's not always the case. It is the grace of God that brought salvation to all people. So that's the first thing I want to point out, is that it brought help. It brought deliverance, not just to a certain kind of person. It didn't just bring salvation to church people, all non-church people. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It didn't bring salvation to the people who were serving mass. It didn't bring salvation to people who were very diligent in their block rosary. It didn't bring salvation to the people who were the goody two shoes. Is that what they call them? The goody two shoes people. Hallelujah. All non-goody two shoes people, say amen.
Amen.
Because salvation has come for us. It brought salvation to all men. That's the first point. The second point I want to bring out here is that if the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all men, it means that whatever was before grace could not bring salvation. Hello? Church, if you are here, say amen.
Amen.
For the grace of God has appeared that brought salvation to all men. Which means that whatever it was that existed before the grace of God, it could not bring salvation. Who can tell me what was before the grace of God? Move for me.
The law.
Hallelujah. The law. Before the grace of God appeared, the law of God was in church. Say amen. The law of God was in place. So, what could not bring salvation to all men was what?
The law.
The law of God could not bring salvation to all men. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to disabuse our mind. The law of God is not the Ten Commandments. You have to walk with the Spirit. The law of God is not the Ten Commandments. What is the law of God? The law of God is the 613 commandments. Torah. How many? How many? 613. Amen. Did you know that there were 613 commandments? Here's what I have in my hand. It's 36 pages printed back and front. Somebody should help me. The commandment you can print on one page. The law of God is 613 different commandments. I printed it. When you go home, you can Google it. Don't take my word for it. Google the 613 commandments of God. It's from the Bible, in the Torah. There's those for signs and symbols, for prayer and blessing, for treatment of Gentiles, for marriage and divorce, on and on. This is it. 613 printed front and back. Different commandments that make up the law of God. Why is this important? The next time somebody tells you that the law of God is the Ten Commandments, you just smile at the person and tell the person is ignorant. Law of God is not Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments is ten of the 613 of them. Let me show some examples of the law of God from this. I just pulled out a few from them. Let's go on. Thou shalt honor the old and the wise. You know, people like me have already disobeyed that one because when I was... I didn't honor the old and the wise. I was always insulting them. Thou shalt learn the Torah and teach it. How many of us have learned the Torah here? Because you have already broken that commandment.
is one of the 613 commandments. Keep going. Thou shalt circumcise the male offspring. And it's not just that you circumcise, you must circumcise them in a particular day, at a particular time, in a particular way. Keep going. Thou shalt write a scroll of the Torah for yourself. Who has written out a scroll, the entire Torah, with his own hand or her own hand, for them own self? Who has that? It's part of the commandments of God. 613. Keep going. Oh, you shall take it and then bind it on your head. Keep going. Thou shalt bind it on your arm also. Hello, church. Church, are you here? Do you know that in the days of Jesus, there were people who were keeping this? What were they called? The Pharisees. The Pharisees, they saw very far. They kept all these commandments. They bound the Lord of the word on their head. They put it on their arm. They wore it on their clothes. They moved around with it. Keep going. Thou shalt recite grace after meals. I'm sure 99% of us. Yes, I heard it. Oh. It's in the Bible. It's part of the 613 commandments that can bring salvation. Keep going. I have a couple more. Just roll out all the rest. There are too many. Thou shalt not use wrong speech. Thou shalt not carry tales. Thou shalt not make a loan with interest. Thou shalt not borrow. So some of us who are driving cars with car notes on it, you have already broken the commandment. You bought a house with a mortgage, you've already broken that commandment. You shall not wear women's clothes if you are a man. You shall not wear man's clothes if you are a woman. And you should not wear garments made of wool and linen mixed together. Everybody here has broken it. No, but we are laughing about it. The next time somebody tells you that you must keep the law of God to be righteous, just laugh at the person. Oh, don't laugh. Sorry about that. See, I'm already breaking it. You should respect. I've just told you to break the commandment again now. But don't laugh at the person. Just be kind to the person and understand that the person doesn't understand what they are. They don't understand what they are saying. The law could not save, because nobody could keep it. Keep going for me. I want to move very quickly. So salvation only came to men after grace appeared, because the law of God, which existed before grace appeared, did not bring salvation. Keep going for me very quickly. Amen. So I want to tell a story of when grace appeared and how grace saved. And it's a story. I have three favorite stories of mine from the stories of Jesus Christ. And the funny thing is that they're all about women. This is the one about the Syrophoenician woman. The other one was the woman caught in the act of adultery. And the third one is the woman that came to break the alabaster box on his feet. I love those stories because they are stories of redemption. But let me tell the one of the woman whose daughter was ill and needed salvation. Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan, Mark says she was a Greek, a Gentile, came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But look at that highlighted phrase. "But he answered her not a word." I want you to pause for a moment. Go back to that slide. Think about it. Why would Jesus, who is so kind, who is so merciful, who is so loving, who is so beautiful, who is so wonderful, hear a woman crying that my daughter is demon-possessed, come and help her. And the fellow kept quiet. He refused to answer her. He answered her not a word. She cried for 1 hour, she cried for 2 hours, she cried for 3 hours. I want you to picture it in your mind. He's walking away, and this woman is crying, and he's ignoring her. I mean, at some point you will say, "Bros, why are you ignoring me?" Keep going. Next slide. "And his disciples came and did exactly what I said, sent her away instead of ignoring her. But he answered and said, 'I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.'" So who can tell me why Jesus is ignoring her? Why did Jesus keep quiet and not answer this woman? because he is not sent except to the Israel. The salvation she's looking for, she can't get it because the law has disqualified her. She's a Gentile. But Jesus is a prophet for the Jews. So Jesus threw the law of God in her face. The law of God disqualifies you, woman. I am not sent to help you. Salvation cannot belong to you. He even told the woman at the well, salvation belongs to the Jews. I'm going to show you what Jesus is doing so you can understand him. It's a powerful thing he's doing. Keep going. All right, so the first point I want to make is this. Righteousness based on the law of God cannot bring you salvation. Why? Because the law of God requires what? 100% adherence. Jesus could not help this woman because on one point already, she wasn't keeping the law. What was that point? She's a Gentile. This one, she can't even help herself. Slow down a bit for me. This one, she can't even help herself. She's a Gentile, and so I can't help you. She's already automatically disqualified from being saved. And that's what James 2:10 says. James chapter 2, verse 10. For whoever shall keep the whole law, and yes, stumble in how many points? Hello, Sister Ruth. If you keep the whole law, then you eat, but don't say grace before and after you eat. You have broken everything. It's impossible to keep. It's impossible. The law is like a glass. A glass is either all glass or it is a cracked glass. If it's a cracked glass, it's no glass. A cracked glass is no glass. You take it out and trash. If you keep the whole law and stumble in how many points? In only one. Hey, but Pastor, nobody is perfect. That's the whole point. The whole point is that you will never be good enough for the salvation of God. That's the whole point. Keep going for me. Galatians 3:10 says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in how many? In all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. How many of us here have kept everything that's written in the book of the law to do them? Hallelujah. The point here is this is why righteousness by the law cannot bring you salvation. And that's why grace had to show. Can somebody please thank God for grace? Amen. Church, are you still with me? Hello? Hello? Don't worry. The good news is coming because, Pastor, why? This is Thanksgiving Sunday. Why are you down? Why are you being a party pooper today? Just downing on everything. But let's keep going. We have to give us the bad news before the good news comes. Okay, how many of us know Deuteronomy 28? Deuteronomy 28 is that passage we love to quote. It contains the blessings of the Lord. You shall be the head and not the tail is the blessing in Deuteronomy chapter 28. You shall be blessed in your going out and blessed in your coming in. Is where? In Deuteronomy chapter 28. But many times when we are praying it and we are reading it, we do not read the condition for that blessing. What's the condition for the blessing? Deuteronomy 28 verse 1. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully 50% of his commandments, which I command you today, that all these blessings shall come upon you and over the Bible. 50%, 60%, 77%, how about 95%? What if you try your very best and you are working at 80% consistently? All the mathematicians here, help me. It's 85%. No, yes, during the graduation, I was asking, what is magna cum? Which one is higher, summa cum laude, magna cum laude, or cum laude? And I think they told me summa cum laude, right? Summa cum laude means 95%. Is that correct? Or close to? Something like that. So if you are obeying 95, if you are summa cum laude, will you get the blessing? But let me tell you what happens if you are 95%. Give me the next slide. The causes. It shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully 0% of his commandments. Is that what is there? 0%. If you don't keep anyone out. What if you observed 85%? Will the curses not come on you? No. If you do not keep all, that all these curses will come on you. The next time somebody tells you that you need to keep the law so that God will bless you, ask them how many of it should I keep? How many of it do I need to keep to be blessed? Salvation did not appear when the law was there. Grace had to appear for salvation to come. Can I hear a big amen? The reason why, let me make that point. The reason why salvation did not come by grace, did not come by law, but had to come by grace, was because the law of God required 100%. Church, are you still here? Don't worry, the good news is coming. Because I'll turn to them and say, neighbor, the good news is coming. Amen. But let's keep going. They give you the second reason why salvation could not come by the law. Give me the next slide. Salvation could not come by the law because you could never keep the law for the right reason. Are you with me? You could never keep the law for the right reason. Stay with me on this point, because this point is very important. What you do is more, why you do what you do to God is more important than what you do. Let me say it one more time. Why you do what you do is more important to God than what you actually do. We are all in church today, but there are some people God is absolutely exhilarated and happy that they are in church today. But there are some people God doesn't actually care that they are in church today. Not because they are all not in church, but because of what? Why they are in church. Hello, church. Hallelujah. Don't worry. Good news is coming. Can I hear amen? Even me, I'm feeling bad now with what I'm saying. But I have to present it. It's very important because I'm going somewhere with it. Why you do what you do is more important. Why you pray. Why you fast. Why you forgive. Why you obey any command of God is more important than the command of God that you obey. Amen? That's the reason why in Isaiah chapter 64 verse 6, I have always wondered why Isaiah said that. Give me that, Isaiah chapter 64 verse 6. But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses, one other version says, all our righteous deeds are like what? They are like filthy rags. Let me explain to you why all your righteous deeds under the law are like filthy rags. There is no commandment of the law that you keep. Before grace appeared, before you got saved, there is no law that you keep, and the reason why you kept it was because of love. It's not possible. In the law, there are only two reasons why you keep the law. You are either trying to avoid punishment, or you are trying to get a reward. Church, are you here? Say amen. In the law, when you keep the law, the only two reasons why you keep the law is that you're either trying to avoid punishment, because the Lord himself said, if you do not keep this law, all these curses will come on. So the reason why you are keeping the law is because you are trying to avoid all these curses. Or you are trying to keep the law because the Lord said, if you keep the law, all these blessings will come on you. So the reason why you're keeping it is because you want the... Praise the Lord. Pastor Felix, come and help me. Church, if you're here, say amen. Pastor Felix, today you're an old woman. Can I hear amen? Can somebody say hi, old woman? Praise the Lord. Pastor Felix is an old woman. Now, this is a double carriage lane. The cars are going through in high speed. Whoa, 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 whoa. And this is an old woman, Pastor Felix. If I hold her hand, oh, old woman, let me help you cross the road. And then I help her, and she's the one, she's just following my son, thank you. And I help her, and I help her cross the road, and I go over to the other side. Amen. Praise the Lord. Have I done a good thing? Can I have your seat, old woman? Thank you. Have I done a good thing? Okay, praise the Lord. Stay with me. After I finished helping the old woman, I now said, oh Lord, because of this old woman that I've helped, make sure you help me too when my own time of need comes. So, because of this old woman that I've helped, bless me, bless my children, bless my father, bless my mother, bless. Have I done a good? Who did I help? The old woman or myself? Praise the Lord. Have I done a good thing? What did I help? I thought you said I helped the old woman and I've done a good thing just now. Praise the Lord. Why is it no longer a good thing? Why is it? Praise the Lord. Because it was a selfish motive. All our righteousness are like filthy rags because they all come from a selfish motive. And before grace came, nobody could do any righteous thing from an unselfish motive. You are either doing it to be blessed or you are doing it to not be caught. And that is why nobody could be saved by keeping the law. Even if you kept it, you would be committing sin by keeping it. Praise the Lord. It would be a selfish motive. And God did it that way. God said, if you do it, I will bless you. He created it so that it will show in man's heart the sinfulness of his heart. Because if he didn't put it there, guess what will happen? Nobody will do it. Nobody will do it. Amen? Let's keep going. The third and final reason why righteousness based on the law could not bring salvation is because it could never make you the kind of person who naturally keeps the law. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere and I'm about to land. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every intent of their thoughts was evil continually. Friends, let me make a point to us. Church, are you saying amen to me? The problem of man, it's not the actions of man. It is the heart of man. I think they are sleeping over here. Let me say it over here because they are listening to me. The heart of the human problem is the human heart. It is possible to keep the law, but in your heart you are as wicked as the devil. It is. It's possible to be nice, to help the old woman across the street, to greet everybody good morning, to be very gentle, to carry yourself politely. All of my friends will say, you'll be doing it and you can't breathe. Praise the Lord. But in your heart, there has been no change whatsoever. The intent and thoughts of his heart was only evil. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Friends, let me tell you something. God is not as interested in the percentage of the commandments you keep as much as he's interested in, are you somebody who will naturally keep the commandments? Are you with me? That's where he's going. A man's heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, I search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. God wants to deal with our hearts. Despite all I have said about the law of God, these 613 laws, here's how good news I have for you. There will come a time in the kingdom of God where everybody will live by the law. Can I hear amen? Everybody will walk by the law. In fact, when somebody breaks the law, there will come a time when people will be surprised. Where did you come from? Why are you breaking this law? Because it will be unnatural to do so. Hello? It will be unnatural to murder. It will be unnatural to gossip. It will be unnatural to commit adultery, to have sex with someone you are not married to. It will be unnatural. The time is coming when it will be unnatural. When even to think about it, something, what went wrong that you are thinking about it? Because in our nature, we would have been changed to be keepers of the law. But right now, with our heart wicked and our heart deceitful and our heart continuously thinking evil, the keeping of the law does not change who we are. It doesn't. And that's why I could never save. Praise the Lord. But thank God grace showed up. Can I hear a big amen? Give me the next slide. Thank God grace showed up. But before I talk about grace showing up, let me close with this point. The law never saved any man because it was never given to save man. Are you with me? It was never given to save man. Instead, it was given to show man how much he needs a savior. For the law's purpose is to keep people from having excuses and to show that the entire world is guilty before God. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. Are you here? Can I hear amen? You know, and that's why everybody's feeling so down now, because what I have done is to show us what? How sinful we are. Praise the Lord. But the good news is coming. Amen. And that's why the first step to receiving saving grace is to do what? To 100% wholeheartedly and completely accept the verdict of the law that you are a sinful sinner in need of grace. What is the verdict of the law? Give me the next slide. That you are a dog. Okay, that's a bit harsh. Amen. Is that not harsh? Praise the Lord. The verdict of the law is that I am a dog, and you are a dog, and we are all dogs. Or to put it more nicely, we are sinful. Everybody's looking at me. Pastor, why are you cursing us and calling us a dog? Okay, go to the next slide, please. Please, go to the next slide. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to... and throw it to who? It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to... Hallelujah. Amen. What was Jesus doing here? Jesus just did what had done in the last 15, 20 minutes. He pointed out to her that you are a lawbreaker, and as a result, you do not deserve the blessing of the Lord. It's no good. I can't take healing. I can't take help. I can't take salvation. I can't take deliverance that belongs to children of God and take it and give to dogs. No, woman, you are a dog. You are a dog. You've broken the law. You are a Gentile. You are of no good to God. Very harsh statement. You know, I encourage you to go back to the Bible and read the words of Christ and read it carefully like this. Jesus literally called this woman a dog. But how did the woman respond? And she said, "Yes, Lord, I am a dog. Hallelujah. But even the little dogs will eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Somebody shout hallelujah. Glory. Grace shows up. Yes, I am a dog. Yes, I'm not good enough. Don't go away from there. Let's stay there, please. Oh, don't you like that part? I love it. I can sleep on that passage. Yes, I am not good enough. Yes, I have broken the law. Yes, I deserve punishment. Yes, I don't deserve your blessing. But guess what? Even the dogs, they will eat the crumbs which fall from master's table. That's somebody stepping away from the law and stepping into grace. Can somebody say amen? That somebody stepping away from, I know I don't deserve it. I know I'm a sinful sinner. But your grace meets the sinner man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give me the next slide. In that one statement, she did two things. First of all, she agreed. She accepted the verdict of the law. You cannot be saved this morning unless you first agree with the Lord that you are a sinful sinner that needs to be saved. And this is where most of us have missed it. We quickly jump to the grace portion, to the love of God portion, without first admitting with and agreeing with the Lord that I am too rotten to help myself, that I am too bad for anybody to save me, that I am too lost to be delivered, except God delivers me himself. She agreed. And the moment she agreed, that one statement, the next thing she did, she also believed and placed herself under the grace of God. Yet the dogs who are under their master's table eat from their crumbs. There's somebody this afternoon. This is the time for you to be delivered. I thought I would hear a big guy, amen. You may not qualify for it, but grace will qualify you. Can I hear amen? You may not feel that you can ever be worthy of it, but grace will make you worthy. Can you please go on to the next slide? What is the grace of God? It is that which God, because of his unconditional love for you, did for you through Jesus with no contribution from you. That's the grace. And the Bible says it was when grace showed up that all men could be saved. Like I said, next time I preach, I'm going to talk about how this grace helps you to now say no to ungodliness. But today, I want you to open your heart to receive salvation. Because when grace showed up, salvation came into your heart. But you must start from that place where you agree that on your own, you could never help yourself. On your own, you could never be blessed. Can somebody get on the keyboard for me? On your own, you could never deliver yourself. The only way to receive what God has done for you by grace is to believe. I don't know if there's somebody here that will believe. But there are two things you must believe. First, you must believe the verdict of the Lord that you would never be good enough by keeping the Lord. But at the same time, believe that the Master has come for you. That the Master has saved you and can save you. That even though you don't deserve it, he has made you a candidate of his love. Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith." It takes great faith to believe that as bad and as rotten as you are, grace can still save you. Give me the last slide. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 and 10 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God." This morning, by grace you will be healed. By grace you will be delivered.
By grace you will experience salvation. One more slide. I want you to look at this picture. When you look at this picture of Jesus bleeding and dying on the cross, what do you see? 99% of the time when you see Jesus suffering and dying on the cross, we see his love for us. You remember that, oh, he went to do that for me. You see him crying. You see his weeping. You see the bleeding. You see the wounds. I mean, this is Mel Gibson's best attempt to try to show it. But it was much worse than that. Bible scholars told us that his flesh was literally dropping from off of his body. That the scars, the bones of his body were exposed. That his arms, I mean, if they did that to the actor would never be able to live again. His joints came out from his arms. Dislocated his shoulder while hanging on that cross. When you behold it and when you see it, what you often see is what? It's his love for you. It's, he did this for me. He did it because he loved me. Is that true? How many of us can see his love when you see that? But this morning, I want you to see something else. When you look at that, I want you to see that it was your sin that did that to him. It was your lying that did that to him. It was your unforgiveness that beat him up like that. It was your heartlessness that wounded him. Your transgressions killed him, tortured him. I want you to look at that picture, and before you see his love for you, see how of an animal you are that you did that to somebody. Because that's what happened. I did that to Jesus, the perfect master. I'm the one that did that to him. I'm the one that whooped him that way. I'm the one that tore his clothes, tore his body up. He said, Pastor, when did you do it? That time when I told a lie. That time when I taught an immoral thought. That time when I kept malice with someone. That was when I beat him up. The devil wants to take away the picture. No, let's look at it. Keep looking. Keep looking. And see your sin lacerating his body. Hear him weeping and crying with each breaking of the law. You must see that first before you then see that it was by his love that he kept hanging there for you. Taking all your sin. Taking all your pain. I don't know if there's anybody here who can say, I did that to Jesus. Until you believe that, his grace can save you. Until you own this crime, until you own this wickedness. How bad is sin? That's how bad sin is. How bad is the breaking of the law? That's how terrible it is. That picture of an innocent man weeping and crying. It was my sin that did that to him. Let's bow our heads. When grace appeared, it first showed us how bad we are, but at the same time showed us how loved we are. When grace appeared, it showed us that we could never have been saved by the law, but showed us how we were saved by his love. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is
Thank you for listening to this audio message from Grace Life Center Charismatic Renewal Ministries. For more information about our church, please visit our website www.gracelifecenter.com or call 657-206-7729.
Break every chain, break every chain. Yeah, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.